You know, it's amazing that we have to look back to 1986 to get a Memorial Day message from a president that mentions God a bunch. And then we have to go back to the early 90s to get back to a song that basically tells us where we are as a country. I believe that we certainly today are perhaps facing some of the gravest days that our country has perhaps ever faced, because we are a country that is adrift without God. And we certainly need to remember. We need to again remember some of the basic things that our country has been blessed with. And we do got to look back for that, and we certainly have to remember. I've talked about this illustration previously, but I think it's a good illustration. How many of you all, as you get older, your memory starts to kind of slip? You don't remember things like you used to. You know, I was thinking this week that I love old things. I love older cars. I love older airplanes, older boats. I love vintage. I love antiques. I just love to look at some of the older things in life, some of the dolls that I had when I was a kid. How many of y'all remember Stretch Armstrong? Raggedy Ann, you know, we had some of these things, and man, I'm gonna tell you what, you get stuff today, it just doesn't last like it used to, and so we certainly need to remember, we need to reflect, and there's different ways of doing that, but this is a true story about this couple that was in their 80s, and they were having trouble remembering things. Now, if you get to your 80s, I guess you're going to have trouble remembering things. So they decided to go to a doctor to get checked out on how to make sure that there was nothing wrong with them. So when they arrived at the doctor's office, they explained to the doctor about the problems they were having about their memory. And after checking the couple out, the doctor tells them that physically they were okay. But he said, hey, you're probably going to need to start writing some things down and make some notes to help them remember things. So the couple thanked the doctor and they simply left. Later that night, they were watching TV and the old man got up from his chair and he asked his wife, where are you going? And he replies, to the kitchen. She asks, well, will you get me a bowl of ice cream? He replies, sure. So she then asked him, don't you think you should write that down so you can remember it? He says, no, I can remember that. She then goes on to say that, hey, I want some strawberries on top of that ice cream. You had better write that down because I know that you're going to forget. He says, look, he said, I can remember that as well. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries. So she replies, well, I also would like some whipped cream on top. And he says, well, look, I know I will not forget that. And she says, you better write it down. He goes, with irritation in his voice, he says, I don't need to write it down. I can remember that. He then fumes off to the kitchen. About 20 minutes later, he returns from the kitchen and he hands her a plate of bacon and eggs. She stares at the plate for a moment and she says, I knew you were going to mess it up because you didn't write it down. You forgot my toast. You know, we all have trouble remembering things. You know, it's kind of sad today that I believe that our country is having that same problem. I believe we're forgetting how blessed we are as a nation. How blessed we were as a nation because we sought God out. And so these next few moments, I'm going to kind of take you low to build you up high, but we're going to look at a message this morning entitled, Ask for the Old Pass. Ask for the Old Pass. We're going to look at this two quick scriptures, and we're not going to be able to look at the entire chapters because they will constitute the context which I'm going to try to preach, but we're going to kind of bounce off these two scriptures in your quiet moments. You could certainly read out what it is that happens to Jerusalem as a nation, as a body of believers, as a people that were supposed to be seeking after God. So Proverbs 22 and 28 and Jeremiah 6 and 16. And they're right there beside each other. So Proverbs 22 and 28. Let's stand in honor of God's word. This is the inspired word of God. In this word is the power to change lives. Proverbs 22 and 28 says this. It's remembering It says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmark, the values, the things that God had done, which thy fathers have set. And then in Jeremiah 6 and 16, Jeremiah writes, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. To ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. He tells them to ask for the old paths, to stand, to walk therein, and you'll find some rest for your souls. But they refused. Let's pray. Father God, this morning we come before you. We thank you that your word is holy, that it's true, that it's absolute, that it's concrete, that it's authoritative. And Lord, for these next few moments, Lord, I pray that I decrease so that you increase, that we hear not merely words about you, but Lord, we hear words from you. Lord, today our country is in trouble. People are in trouble. Churches are in trouble. And Lord, I pray that we would just heed these words from an Old Testament prophet, and we could remember some of the ancient landmarks. And Lord, we could ask for the old paths again. And it's in your powerful, mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, there's a lot of talk today about what it is that America needs. A lot of people were saying that, hey, we need inflation to come down, and we need a new president. We need to change the Senate. We need to get a new Congress in place. But I want to tell you this morning very quickly that the restoration of America does not rest in better economics, smarter politicians, a greater military presence, but rather it rests in getting back and restoring God's principles of righteousness in the hearts and lives of the American people. You see, I believe this morning that America must wake up. I believe that we are at a fork in the road. I believe that America is at a crossroads. And this morning, this is not a history lesson to be learned about the captivity of Jerusalem, but rather it's a stern, stark message for those of us that are Americans. This is not a political speech. This is not a somber, sad situation that we are facing without God. But rather, I want it to be an encouraging message that we ought to be able to face with God. In my 54 years of living on this earth, never before until now have I witnessed the future of our nation on the brink of demoralization, spiritual decline, financial bankruptcy. The Word of God says this in Proverbs 14:34. It says, the righteousness exalt a nation, but it says that the sin is a reproach to any people. And then in Proverbs 29:2, it reads interestingly, it says, when the righteous are in authority, that means when God's people are in authority, people will rejoice. But it says, when wicked men rule, the people are going to groan. Now, I would add to that today that we need to be reminded today of where we find ourselves. There is a crisis in America. And I believe the greatest that she has ever faced, perhaps in her entire history. And it's a crisis between good and evil. It's a crisis between good and evil, between being blessed and being cursed, between being a nation of God and being a nation that is adrift without God. Let me set that in very quickly one more time, because that is the old path. That is the foundation of where we find ourselves this morning. We find ourselves in a nation that is struggling between good and evil, between being blessed and being cursed, between being a nation that is with God or a nation that is adrift without God. The average age of great civilizations in history have been around 200 years. And if that is true, that means that America is living on borrowed time. You know, I was interesting to note, and I really haven't followed it much like maybe some of you, but they have this thing, and I invite you to go out maybe today and take a peek at it, but it's called the U.S. debt clock. And you can type in on Google search and you can go to the U.S. debt clock. And I know that ain't going to mean nothing to a lot of us that are here this morning because you're saying, look, I ain't worried about the debt in America because I ain't got no change in my own pocket. But let me just tell you what, if you go to this clock, it's a very interesting clock because it has this one thing that tells us about where our debt is currently, but then it has like probably 50 to 100 other things that are off of it that are just, man, they're in motion like crazy. And I mean, the numbers are so big that I didn't learn these numbers when I was in school. And when I first went to the clock, there were some things I had to understand. I had to start counting the zeros and the commas and everything. But we've all heard some of this on the news. But listen, we are $34 trillion plus in debt. Listen, the estimated population is around 336 plus million. That means that every person that is alive on the planet in the United States of America, we have a debt of around $103,230 as of 5 days ago. We now have 122% spending of our GDP. And it's not just a financial thing. Most of us know that America is in trouble. We are a very sick country. 560% increase in violent crime. 400% increase in illegitimate births, a quadrupling of divorces, a tripling of percentage of children that are living in single-parent homes, more than 200% increase in teen suicide, a drop of 75 points on the average SAT scores of high school students. I just heard this past week that children and college students are making the grade, but they cannot fail the test, which means somehow they ain't really making the grade. They getting the grade, but the grade ain't coming out when they taking the test. Just this past week, there was a bill that is being issued, and it's about to be passed. It's about to be passed in one of our larger cities in Illinois. And I want you to get this because some of this stuff is just so foolish and so crazy that you almost can't even believe it's true. A criminal used to be called a criminal. In other words, if a murderer was a murderer, they were called a murderer. If a person was a criminal, I mean, that's just simply what they called them. But years ago, they moved criminal to offender. And now they're outlawing. In this big city in Illinois, you can't call them a criminal anymore. And you can't call them an offender anymore. You know what they're going to call them? Justice impacted. You can't make this up. That means somebody that has taken life, child rapists, whatever they are just simply impacted by justice. You don't make this stuff up. We become a nation where the criminal is deified and the victim is vilified, where evil's called good, good is called evil. We become a nation where the life of a snail darter has become more valued than the baby that's in a womb. We have said loudly and clearly by the people we have placed in the highest offices of our nation, our character doesn't matter. Why should yours? We are a nation that is marked by moral regression, sexual revolution, spiritual rebellion. Somebody has said that I predict before America is conquered from without, she's going to corrode from within. America is not going to die by homicide. She's going to die by suicide. We will not ultimately be destroyed by what someone else will do to us, but by what we will do to ourselves. And listen, I want you to hear me and hear me well. America's biggest problems today is not inflation, it's not interest rates, it's not budget deficits, it's not even crime. Our biggest problems today are sin. Just as what Jeremiah was talking about here with the people of Jerusalem, their biggest problems they were dealing with was not just simply what was going on at that time in their country. Their biggest problems was with God. Their biggest problems was sin. Our greatest enemies today is not Iraq, Iran, North Korea, Cuba, Russia, but our greatest problem is our problem we have with ourselves. America's biggest threat is not nuclear bombs or terrorism or communism or humanism, but our biggest threat is going to come from God Almighty. Our only hope is not in a better government, not in new political leadership, balanced budget, nuclear missiles, or dollar bills. Our hope today that we have is the same hope that has always stood, and that is the hope in the cross and the hope in Almighty God. We need to get back to the basics of life, and we need God like never before. Human wisdom can never solve the problems that humanity has. We cannot help ourselves. When all is said and done, the only answer is the greatest demonstration that the world has ever seen. And that's Jesus Christ upon the cross. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the cross of Christ, because it reveals love to the agnostic, love to the struggling, love to the atheist. There is nothing compared to the cross. And that's why we need to understand today more than ever. We need to remember what truly is wrong, what truly has caused us to be a sick nation. And what is causing us to be a sick nation is simply sin. But I want you to understand today that there's good news. I've told you all the bad news, and most of that bad news you pretty much already knew. But we need to ask for the old past. And so this morning, in a few moments, I just want to give you just a few things of how you can survive. How you can not only survive, but thrive. How light can be light in the midst of darkness. And the first thing I want to remind you of this morning is we still serve on this Memorial Day weekend, no matter how dark it is outside, no matter how bleak things have gotten in our country. We still serve a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve today. He is so mighty that even in our text, Jeremiah finds himself in the midst of tough times. He finds himself, people not following God and people turning their back on God. He still finds himself, even though the people are going to be carried off into captivity into a foreign land, God was faithfully right beside him. Even though his environment of people were hostile to the people of faith, even though he was living in an hour of political unrest, even though there was uncertainty on every side, he still realized what a mighty God he served. Jeremiah lived through the worst of times, but God Almighty was faithful to him. And today, my message to you, if you ain't already dozed off and gone to sleep, I want you to hear this and hear it well today. No matter how dark the times are today, we still serve a mighty God, and he is still in control of the universe and the world, and we just need to trust in him. Friends, I'm telling you, don't ever let the bleakness of the world, don't ever let all this foolishness and all this craziness and all this sinfulness overrule the fact that our God is not an ever-present God, that our God is not there for you and I. I came to tell you this morning that we got a big God. We got a God that makes ways where there seems to be no ways. He's a God that we could turn through the pages, and we could look all through the pages of God's mighty word, and we would see that when things looked at its worst, God was at his best. When things looked at their bleakest, it was then that God showed his power. And I don't want you ever to get tired of coming to church each week. I don't want you to ever grow tired of being sold out, faithful, and being a Christian in this society to which we live. Because friends, you and I today are the only light and the only hope that some people are ever going to see. Let me just give you three quick things. A good sermon has to have 3 points, so I got 3 quick things that I need to give you. In a world like we find ourselves living, we need to know what is the landmark. What would be the basics of life? And there would be many, and many people would have different thoughts on this, but I just want to give you my own. First of all, this Memorial Day, we got to stand and seek the old paths by trusting in God's Word. You know, I know we read the newspaper, and I know we watch some TV sets, and I know we read some good books and some novels, but I want you to know today that there's nothing that we need to lean on more in this hour of crisis than God's Word. Friends, we need to be trusting in God's Word. We need to understand that during this season, during this valley, during this time of absolute chaos, that we need to trust in God's Word. That God's Word will say to the weak that you can be strong. God's Word will say where there is no way, God can make a way. God can take the tears of sorrow and turn them into tears of joy. He says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That no matter what a person's life is, no matter what their yesterday is, every person in this land today has a hope through John 3:16 that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but be able to have everlasting life. I don't care if you're a drunkard, an alcoholic, a prostitute, or a pimp. Today, God has sent His Son into this world for you and I to be able to have hope and to be able to have a changed life. Friends, I don't know what our country's doing. I don't know what our world is doing. But I know what this book answers. And this book has most, if not all, the answers to the world's problems. And we need to dig into it a lot more than we do. So I believe that we need to look to God's Word, then we need to trust in God's heart. When you can't figure out why things are happening, when we can't understand the whys of this world, you know, there's things every night that I don't understand. I see thugs sometimes get shot 8 times and they manage to live, and yet a police officer gets 1 shot that goes around his bulletproof vest and he dies. Just this week, a couple, I'm not even sure what denomination they were a part of, but they were in Haiti. I think they were like 23 and 20 or 21, I mean very young 20s, lost their life trying to tell others about Jesus. So it's not just America, it's all around our world. There's no value of life. I think about the Ukrainians that are having bombs, or the Russians that are having bombs dropped on them. Think about Israel. Just this past 24 hours, they've had some more missiles go into Israel and all that conflict zone there in Gaza. Both sides. I mean, there's no value of life. You see, we've got to get to a place that we can trust God. And there's those things that you and I may not understand, but that's why He's God. And that's why Scripture tells us that His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God is far bigger in His presence, because His presence fills the universe. He is wiser than all the brightest minds that were ever put together. His love is beyond human understanding. We know that His grace has no limits. He grades all things, and all things exist by His divine power. He has no peer. No one gives Him advice. No one can fully understand Him. No one elected Him to be God. Therefore, no one can void Him out. He is perfect in all of His ways. He loves each and every one of us in spite of how much we mess up. I may not understand God, but I'm glad God is God. And you see, I've got to trust God. I got to trust God. There's going to be a lot of times and a lot of places that I don't always see God or trust God. I've told you that story about this burning house that was on fire and this little girl's at the top of the stairs. And the daddy says, "Jump, I want you to jump." And the little girl can't see her daddy down below because all there is smoke and all there is fire. And her daddy keeps saying, "Jump, jump." She says, "I can't see you, daddy. There's no way I could jump. There's fire, there's smoke in the stairway." And I want you to listen to what her daddy's response was. Her daddy said, "Look, you can't see me, but I can see you. You just jump and I'll catch you." Friends, today, I believe it's much like the world we live in. We may not be able to see God, but we got to trust God. We got to believe that God has his eyes on us. And so we got to ask for the old paths. We got to stand in the ways of the Lord. We got to look at his word. We got to trust in him. And then finally, we got to live a life by faith. You see, when the world is shaken as we know it is, when the rubber hits the road, we got to walk by faith because we're saved by faith, we're kept by faith, we serve by faith, we give by faith, we pray by faith, and we worship by faith. When the world is shaken, God is unshakable. God ain't panicked. God has a plan. When things get tough in this world, people often look to find excuses to stop believing, stop serving, stop worshiping, whatever it is. But I want to recommend to you today that today you can bet it all, today that you can have faith in the one that never falters, the one that never fails, the one that says that all things are possible to those that believe, the one that says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, the mountain mover, the one that sets the captives free, the one that mends broken hearts, the ones that lifts the yokes of bondage, the one that is mighty to save, the one that still delivers his people, the one that is still the lifter of our heads, the one that is still strength for today and hope for tomorrow, the one that is still all powerful and all holy. And that's the awesome Lord. And so, friends, we need to dig into God's word. We need to dig into God's word. We need to remember there's a lot of things that are new that are good for us, but I think it would do us good to go back to some old-fashioned things, and remember just who God is. And remember that God's word is a reliable source, no matter what this world says. We got all this hocus pocus and dipping and dapping, and nobody knows what's happening, and all this crazy. We done left the planet on some of this stuff. We need to know today God's word. We need to trust in his heart. And then you and I need to march every day in full faith of trusting and believing God. And we do well to remember that. We do well to remember that every single day. And I know it sounds cliche and I'm closing, but listen. Friends, we're at the end of time. And don't think for a moment that God ain't going to come back soon. He is. I know you've heard preachers say it and Sunday school teachers talk about it. I know you think, well, hey, I'll make it to 70 and it ain't going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, if you just use discernment, you ain't got to be a Bible thumper or a religious fanatic to understand this world is major league in trouble. Major league in trouble. And friends, I don't know how much longer God is going to tolerate it before he comes for his church. Today, if you're lost and you need Jesus' altars open, if you need to rededicate your life, join the church, whatever it is, you do what God would have you do. Let's stand, let's pray.